Lord Jesus, I just want to lift you up this morning. As I bring this word, Lord God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are not from me, but they're from you, Lord Jesus. And the words that come out of my mouth are not my own ideas, but they're yours, Lord God. And the words that come out of my mouth this morning are not for people who aren't here. They're for this time, for this moment, for these people sitting in this room, Lord Jesus. Amen. Where's my slide, y'all? There it is. This is called The Power of Vulnerability. In my last sermon, I spoke about the importance of community from a biblical view and from a worldly view. And today I will be speaking about the reason why it is important to be vulnerable with your church family and vulnerable with God. So vulnerable with your community. In the dictionary, the first definition that comes up for vulnerability is, listening, the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Sounds promising, doesn't it? Let me say that again. The state of being exposed to the possibility that you're going to be attacked or harmed, physically or emotionally. Why would anyone in their right minds want to do that and put themselves out there like that? No one wants to open up themselves to others to potentially be harmed or attacked. That's not in our protective human character. However, there are pros and cons to being vulnerable with your church community, and there are right ways and wrong ways to do this. Next slide, please. It's important to be vulnerable with people you trust. And who is the one person that we can trust wholeheartedly? God. Our number one trustworthy person is God. And why is he so trustworthy? Because we are important to God and he loves us unconditionally. We know that if we open ourselves up to being vulnerable and honest with God, we will not be at risk of attack or emotional injury from God. The Bible tells us this about God's nature and our relationship with him. 2 Chronicles 6 verse 14 says, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or earth, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. So the good news is, as it was for the Israelites of old, the love of our God is never failing. We can tell God all our dirty secrets, all our sinful thoughts, and he will still love us just the same. God did not just create this world, but God loves this world with an abandon that leaves God vulnerable to pain. God created a garden of life, and Adam and Eve betrayed God's trust, and this grieved God. God rescued Israel from oppression and slavery in Egypt, and the first thing they did was build a golden calf to worship. He opened himself up to being hurt. In the Gospels, Jesus says, I have a dream for this world where the poor are taken care of, the sinner is accepted, the marginalized and foreigner are welcomed. And what did humanity do? They rejected this dream. Yet despite all the ways we reject God, God keeps loving us. And we know this because of how far God went to be with us. We don't truly start to grasp the Christian message until we see that the height of God's power is Jesus's vulnerability on the cross. So opening yourself up to God and being vulnerable with him is not going to hurt you. This doesn't make it any less difficult to do. It's still a very uncomfortable thing to do to be vulnerable with God. So let's look at how it will benefit us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 9 to 10 says, But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is what true power looks like. Jesus suffering on the cross so that those who suffer would never be alone. Jesus dying the death of a criminal so we would have a life of liberation. Humanly, it is natural to resist personal vulnerability, even with ourselves. Our culture encourages and promotes independence, autonomy, and self-sufficiency. And while these are not entirely wrong, beyond a certain point, they inhibit our spiritual growth. Consider that while the three members of the Holy Trinity have separate identities, they exist in perfect community. Of the three, the Bible describes the Son as our perfect example of vulnerability, who, in becoming a man on earth, emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant and became sin for us and was tempted in every way as we are. The power of Christ is the power of vulnerability. We can only be vulnerable with one another because God was first vulnerable with us. This is where the traditional language of falling to our knees and surrendering to God has the most power. We must make ourselves vulnerable to God. God already knows all of our faults, all of our mistakes, all of our worries, and all of our pain. Do you think keeping it to yourself is going to work? God knows everything. And if we come to God with our whole selves, God will not reject us. It is precisely as we are at our most vulnerable that God's power can be the most present. And it is then that we are enabled to be vulnerable with others. This will also mean being vulnerable with ourselves and acknowledging all of our parts we try to hide. That, I think, for many of us, is the hardest part. But it's the only way we can give our whole selves to God. Are you with me? As Joel would say. I only learn from the best. Give me a minute. At least I don't walk from side to side of the stage while I'm preaching. I'm not fit enough for that. God's word, or the Bible, promises us that God's power overcomes all of our weaknesses and insecurities. God says, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." Isn't it reassuring? God sees our weaknesses as a positive thing. He wants us to have weaknesses. He wants us to acknowledge those weaknesses. Paul tells the church back in the New Testament days to be vulnerable with God and to reveal our shortcomings because God will fulfill us with his strength. If we don't, we don't get any of that. God's like, well, do it on your own. You're telling me you can, so good on you. Whereas if we tell God that we're falling short in this area, he's going to fill us with his strength. How awesome is it to know that we have the power of Christ in our lives? How awesome is it that to know that when we're at our weakest, then that is the time where God is most powerful in us? Vulnerability equals real, relative, relational, and honest. Is this not what Christians are supposed to be all about? Jesus lived a life with these characteristics, real, relative, relational, and honest. I don't personally believe that Jesus would have made such an impact on the world if he wasn't all of these things. If you've ever read Romans chapter 7, then you've read about Paul's wrestling with his sinful nature. And just like Jacob wrestled with God, we too will wrestle our old natures. We would all be able to say, right along with Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, that I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Put your hand up if you've got any bad habits. Ayo, speaking negatively to yourself about yourself is a bad habit. We do the thing that we don't want to do. Why? Paul was stuck in his sinful ways, just like we are as humans. He struggled to get out of his habits, and so will we. There you go, there's some reassurance for you. Go into the next week knowing you're just like Paul. Next slide, please. You did that so quickly. My mind just took a while to compute that you'd already done it. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 19, the New International Version, says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not..." Hang on. "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Who keeps falling into the same old traps? Yes. Self-pity? Yes. "This is too hard." Yes. In saying these words, in writing these things, Paul is admitting his weaknesses. He's being vulnerable, and not just for the moment. These words, and I don't know whether Paul knew this at the time or not, but these words have lasted and will continue to last for centuries and until the return of Jesus. Generations and generations are reading about his faults. That is some vulnerability right there. If you look at the life of Paul and the calling he was born into, it would seem that he was created to be an example to us as Christians, as followers of Christ. How much would we learn from Paul if he wasn't open and honest? How much less would we learn from him if he hid his shortcomings and pretended he had it all together? What a short, rubbish book in the Bible that would be. Paul was very open to what he experienced and was most vulnerable about his weaknesses and his enemies. But because of his vulnerability, God had easy access to pour in his grace. It was only by God's grace that he could say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." God wants us to know that the surpassing powers belong to God and not to us, but God's power is made perfect only in our weakness or our vulnerability. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Put your hand up if you never sin. There we go. Good job, guys. You're being vulnerable with yourselves and others. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." So what can we do? What should we do? Cry out to Jesus and declare our shortcomings before God. Be honest with God in our weaknesses and our failures. Like I said before, who are we kidding? He knows them all anyway. Then Paul answers the question of how he can be delivered from the law of sin in Romans 7:25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is our answer. That there is why it's so important to confess your sins or your weaknesses and shortcomings to God. Because God, and only God, can deliver you from these sins. And God, and only God, can make the weak strong. Power and vulnerability seem like the opposite ends of the spectrum, don't they? This is because we have discussed vulnerability as being open to attack and harm, as the dictionary words it. However, having the courage to be vulnerable while knowing that you could possibly get hurt in the process shows strength, courage, and determination. Next slide, please. Put your hand up if you know who this lady is. Ayo! Dr. Brené Brown. Look her TED Talk up on YouTube when you get home. It's amazing. On our leadership team at work, we are currently reading and studying a book by social worker Dr. Brené Brown. The book we're studying is called Dare to Lead. And the first part of the book is titled Rumbling with Vulnerability. Now, like I said, her TED Talk was awesome and it went viral a few years ago. She shares her insights from 12 years of researching shame and vulnerability. In her book, Daring Greatly, she defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. She argues that vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is really an experience of love. And if we look back over what I just spoke about, being vulnerable with God is an act of our love for Him and our trust in Him. Brown looked deeply at all the interviews where she saw people with self-worth at play, and she found that the people who felt worthy of being loved tended to have the courage to be imperfect. Let's think about that. When you get home to your families, you let it all out, don't you? They're the ones you yell at. They're the ones you take out your bad mood on. That's because there's love and there's trust there. Brown looked deeply at all the interviews, where she saw people with self-worth at play, and she found that the people who felt worthy of being loved tended to have the courage to be imperfect. They all had the compassion to be kind to themselves. And they all were willing to let go of who they thought they should be in order to be who they were. In other words, what they had in common was that they embraced vulnerability. In her book, Daring Greatly, Dr. Brown writes, they talked about the willingness to say I love you first, the willingness to do something where there are no guarantees, the willingness to breathe through waiting for a doctor to call you after your mammogram. They're willing to invest in a relationship that may or may not work out. And I don't know about you, but I'm drawing a clear comparison here between what Dr. Brown classes as vulnerability and what we as Christians call faith. God's got it under control. Brown noted in a public lecture that many people hear vulnerability and think weakness. She then asked the audience, who had just heard many speakers share stories about deaths in their families, intimate moments in their lives, or their own weaknesses and personal failings, how many of you thought they were brave for doing that? And most hands shot up. Actual, genuine vulnerability is hard. It takes courage. It takes boldness. But as Dr. Brown notes, being vulnerable is the beginning of true connection between people. And being vulnerable is the beginning of true connection with God. Vulnerability equals teachability. When you are not vulnerable, often this in turn is stubbornness and defensiveness. People often label this stubbornness as being stuck in your ways or having bad habits. Next slide, please. Oh, this is a long one. It's good. Finally, don't go too short, Lukos. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says, I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul was such a humble man, so much that he proclaimed himself as the worst of sinners, and said, I am the least of the apostles. I am unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. However, Paul may have in fact been the greatest of all the apostles and possibly the least of all sinners. You wouldn't have caught Paul ever boasting about himself. The only time he boasted was in his weaknesses. Paul's weaknesses allowed God's grace to flow where human efforts shut it off. For Paul, who suffered greatly, God's grace was just enough sufficiency for the day. And like the manna, there was just enough for the day. There is no grace available for tomorrow until you get there. So here are some biblical truths about vulnerability. Number one, it diminishes unhealthy competition and comparisons. Let's look at this as a church body now. Comparison is the enemy of vulnerability. if I were competing with that fellow parent over there, over who had the best kid, we could never admit the weaknesses of our situations. Do we have the best kids? Hannah and Penina? I couldn't find how to say it in the Bible. Hannah and P, the two wives of Elkanah from 1 Samuel chapter 1, are a biblical example of the stifling nature of comparison. Hannah is devastated by her closed womb, and P jealously taunts Hannah because she is more loved by their husband. Oh, can't imagine doing that in this day and age. I would get so jealous. Neither of them acts as a source of strength or empathy for the other. I wonder what might have happened if Hannah was vulnerable with P and had said, P, I know I am loved by Elkanah, but I am unbearably sad about my barrenness. There you go, I said it. In response, P might have said, Hannah, I know I have made Elkanah happy by giving him children, but I feel unloved because you are his favourite. Sharing vulnerably could have been a bridge in their relationship. Number two, biblical truth. It normalizes failure as part of the human experience. When I think of vulnerability, I also think of Peter and Judas. As humans, we are susceptible to failure. Both Peter and Judas had major spiritual and relational failures in the final days of Jesus' life. Judas handled failure in a terrible final way by hanging himself. His failure marked his exit from the story. But Peter appeared again with the disciples. If part of the human experience is failure, then we do not need to run away from it. Oh, is that freeing or what? Sticking around our community after our failures are exposed is hard. But there is reward in this type of vulnerability. It must have been both vulnerable and humiliating for Peter to rejoin the disciples after he carried out the denial that Jesus predicted. Embarrassing. But if he hadn't shown up, we wouldn't see his interaction with the risen Saviour in John 21, where Jesus turns Peter's three-time denial into his three-time affirmation of his love for Jesus and points him in a new direction. Number three. It allows us to be recipients of God's grace. We can receive God's grace. That's amazing. I'm inspired by Peter's example and convinced that we too need to learn how to receive God's grace in our small failures so that we are prepared for the more significant failures. In fact, I think one of the most important roles I have as a parent is to model failure to my kids. It's a part of life they will have to face. 100% guaranteed. I want them to know that as vulnerable, susceptible beings, failure is something we can anticipate. And I want them to know that as Christians, our vulnerability is our opportunity to receive God's grace, whether as help for our failures or strength for our weaknesses. I want to imitate Peter in this, but it takes some work. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We absolutely love to see raw truth displayed by others, but let's be honest, we're afraid to let others see it in ourselves. This is one of the reasons we are attracted to reality TV. We get to watch the group of people on the show in all their vulnerability and we judge them while we sit safely and isolated in our comfortable worlds. But vulnerability in the church is a two-edged sword that can cut both ways. It is only when we are most vulnerable that we can experience the connection with God and others that we were designed for. But it is also exactly when we are most vulnerable that we can get hurt the most. Having someone to be vulnerable with is like having an accountability partner. I suggest that people who are struggling, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, or other issues, Find an accountability partner and agree to meet with them on a regular and consistent basis. If we know that we're going to have to confess our sins to one another, we might be more hesitant to do them, just like on our lose 10 kilos challenge. James seems to be saying that confession, or coming before God with clean hands and a pure heart, can open the possibility of a potently answered prayer. Apparently, the righteous person's prayers can have a great amount of power. And of course, that is God's power, not ours. It won't be easy to admit to ourselves and others our faults and weaknesses and then give them to God. But it is necessary if the church is to be a family bound by Christ and by love of one another. This vulnerable love is essential when thinking about how people can truly join and connect with each other. It is not as easy as saying, let's just emphasize what we have in common while ignoring divisions. There is risk. We are going to have to risk being wrong, or maybe risk being right. We are going to have to risk having to be the bigger person, or risk the hard work of changing church policies and hearts, often at the same time. Why is vulnerability hard? There are personal, family, and cultural reasons why we shy away from vulnerability. Some cultures tend toward concealment in order to prevent shame or discomfort. Some highly expressive cultures are fairly comfortable with vulnerability, though. Australia is so multicultural that we represent both ends of the spectrum and neither in a particularly healthy way. My encouragement to you is to be around others who embrace their vulnerability in a healthy way so they can model it for you and help you practice it. If you don't know anyone who can be your model, then use Peter from the Bible as a starting place. If the musicians could come, that would be great. Did you ever imagine that what we call vulnerability might just be the key to ongoing growth? Not weakness, growth. In our society, where we cover up failures and weaknesses, there is something prophetic and attractive about living into our vulnerability. Healthy, vulnerable people use every occasion to expand, to change, and to grow. Yet it is a risky position to live undefended in a kind of constant openness to the other, because it would mean others could sometimes actually wound you. But only if we choose to take this risk do we allow the exact opposite possibility, and that is the other might also gift you, free you, and even love you. Dear God, we lift ourselves up to you today. We open our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be more vulnerable with you so that we can have an intimate relationship with you, Lord, so that you can fill us with your strength where we are weak. Lord Jesus, I pray as we go into this next week, Lord God, that we find a circumstance and a chance to be vulnerable with someone, Lord God, and that we can be the person they trust to be vulnerable with us. Lord Jesus, I pray that you just lead us where you want us to go, Lord God, whether that hurts us, whether that wounds us, whether it hurts our feelings, Lord, help us to push all of that aside because, and we praise you for this, when we are weak, you are strong. In Jesus' name, amen.